back to James chapter 1 again. And I've lost my ink pen deep down in my pocket. There it is. James chapter 1, verse 18, where James writes, being inspired of the Spirit of God, he writes, of his own will, that is God, that's who he's speaking about, of his own will begat he us, that is, he brought us forth. The word here pictures, gives us the picture of a woman great with child. That's the way the King James Version would put it. A woman great with child, then she brings forth that child. Mm-hmm. That's the word here. Of his own will brought he us forth.
Yeah.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And it is the word of truth that we are brought forth by. Yeah. Now, some have put it this way, and I think it's okay. I think it's appropriate. I don't think it's unscriptural to speak of it this way. The truth of the scripture is this. We are quickened, we are regenerated by God himself.
Yes, sir.
That is, the initial impartation of spiritual life comes by sovereign fiat through God himself. Yes, and he bestows life where life did not exist before.
Right.
He makes alive.
Yeah.
Is the prophet said, gives an illustration. Our Lord, he said it of Israel, I passed by you polluted in your own blood.
Yep.
Like a child. That child's born dead. That's the implication in the Hebrew. And God says, live.
Amen.
And that child has life.
That's right.
Now that is without means.
Exactly.
No prayer. No preaching.
Yeah.
No witnessing. No gospel. No nothing but God. But here we find we are then brought forth, and some have put it this way, we're conceived by God, period.
Amen.
And then we grow, that is, God begins to teach us, and we know that our Lord said, we seen it last week, and they shall all be taught of God.
Amen.
Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father, then does what? Then that person comes to Christ. So as some have put it, we're conceived by God Almighty. We are taught by God Almighty through this word. But it is also this word that actually then converts us, that brings us forth, where this life then is manifested. And as James puts it, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now let me say again, while there is power in this word, it is not some, and I'll use Joe, it's not some magical thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not as though this preached, this word, and even this word preached has some kind of mystical power.
Exactly.
It is of his own will begat he us.
Amen.
You see, it's not just, well, that person happened to be elect and it happened to be under the sound of the gospel and God happened to do something for him. Mm-hmm. And therefore then the word lays hold of. No, this is according to the sovereign design of God.
Yes.
I mean, to illustrate this, to give an example of this, is Cornelius. And remember what I said last week. This bringing us forth with the word of truth, it affects the mind, the heart, the conscience, the emotions, the understanding, the actions. It affects all a part of our being. And, well, I'll just leave it at that. It affects everything. But here we have Cornelius. Scripture tells us Cornelius prayed to God and gave alms to the people. Doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Scripture also clearly indicates that God had heard this man's prayer.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Now, we are not told exactly what this man knew, but we know he knew some things. Okay, we know he knew to pray to God. We know he knew to pray to the God of the Jews. For it was the Jews he was giving alms to, as Cornelius was a Gentile. But the question is, this man, as is evidenced later, was quite ignorant as well. Quite ignorant. Because when the messenger, Peter, came to him, what's the first thing he did? He bowed down to worship Peter.
Yes,
now, I've heard lots of explanations. That is people trying to explain away this. But here's the truth. God had already given this Gentile man, Cornelius, life in Christ sovereignly.
Amen.
And he did know some things about God, but he did not know the Christ of God. That's one area he lacked in which he needed. Because God has ordained that all his people come to Christ.
Amen.
Not just to some general knowledge about God through the scriptures, but to Christ himself.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, before Cornelius ever heard the gospel and believed the gospel, and that was not until after Peter came to him and preached to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some people say, well, Cornelius was a Jewish convert. And he already expected the Messiah. Well, if he's a Jewish convert, why'd they get upset for Peter going down and preaching to him?
Exactly.
If he's a Jewish convert, he would have been a circumcised Gentile.
Yeah.
Which he was not.
No.
He was. That's what upset him. It's an uncircumcised man he went and preached to.
Exactly.
But yet we find, even before Peter sent to Cornelius, we find God in type form. In a vision, in a dream, defining to Peter, listen, even though you've not even preached to this man yet, and not even though he's not even believed the Christ of God yet, he is clean.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Doesn't he? Isn't that what the vision in the sheet?
Exactly.
Slay and eat. Peter said, no, that's unclean. Can't do it.
Yeah.
God said, don't you call common or unclean that which I will cleanse.
Right.
Know what he said? No, not what I will cleanse. Don't you call common or unclean that which I have cleansed.
Amen.
The truth is, everyone God has cleansed, they'll be brought forth with the word of truth.
Yes, sir.
You're not cleansed because you're brought forth. You're brought forth because you're cleansed.
Exactly.
That's the order of God's work.
Amen.
Now see, this basically says God does it all.
Yeah, that's it.
I know a lot of people say, well, we believe salvation's of the Lord. Huh? We believe salvation's of the Lord, but you got to hear the gospel first before God does anything for you. Well, Abraham better thank God that's not so.
That's exactly right.
Well, there wasn't no gospel preachers down in the Ur of the Chaldees. Yeah. Not that I know of. I ain't read of one of them yet.
Not yet.
There were no gospel preachers in Jericho when Rahab the harlot recognized the God of these Hebrews coming their way. You see, the truth is, God saves his people.
Yeah.
Amen.
No, he doesn't just give them life and take them to heaven. They will hear the word of truth, and it will bring them forth.
That's what he
says. Somebody says, well, that's why we got to preach the gospel. No, it's not. We got to preach the gospel because God said to, period.
Amen. That's right.
That's it.
Whether it had any effect or not, he said, preach it, preach it. If everybody went to hell, he said, preach it, we still preach it.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. We preach because God said so. But it is true that God says this, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save them that believe.
That's right.
Amen.
Preaching's not bad.
No.
It's not bad, but preaching's not our salvation.
Exactly.
See, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. Them that, now who's doing the saving? The preaching or the God?
Exactly.
God is.
Amen.
Even as Paul told these people, he was telling some Jews, they got upset with it, didn't want to hear it no more. So Paul said, well, we'll go to the Gentiles.
That's right.
But here's what he says in the line of justification. The problem is a lot of people think that salvation is by some action man does, whether it's man's preaching or man's believing. But salvation, I mean, in its essence, in its truth, salvation is by God in Christ.
Amen.
And as Paul said, what is it, Acts, and let me, it's Acts 13, I'm not exactly sure which verse it is. Let's look here. Acts 13, verse 38, Paul says these words, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, it's not through believing there is forgiveness of sins. It's not through repentance there is forgiveness of sins.
Yes, sir.
But Paul wasn't against believing in repentance either, no. And neither are we when we teach these things.
Exactly.
But there is a proper foundation, proper order, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. And look at it. And by him all that believe are justified. So here, what does the justifying?
Yeah.
Most people say, well, when you believe, that justifies you. That's not what it says. It says, and by him all that believe are justified.
Amen.
You see, it's Christ that's justifying believers. It's not believing that's justifying believers.
Exactly.
The act of believing doesn't justify. It's the object of the belief that justifies the man,
Christ
Jesus.
Amen.
This is why we don't look to our faith, we look to Christ. This is why we don't look to preaching, we look to Christ. This is why we don't look to repentance, we look to Christ. This is why it says, look to him and live.
Amen.
Not look to anything else. All these other things have their place and their reason. But let us always remember that the word of truth is a word about Christ.
Yes.
Okay? It's not just Bible preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our Lord told some people, you know, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. A lot of people, well, just preach the Bible. That'll work people, that'll affect people. Well, it may do it.
Yeah.
But that don't mean they'll be converted to Christ.
That's exactly right.
If they're not hearing Christ, they cannot be converted to Christ.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's what he says. How can you believe on one in whom you've not heard?
Yeah, that's right.
So the question is, it's not just hearing Bible, it's not just hearing Scripture, but it's hearing about Christ. Hearing about Christ. Christ is the message. And again, I say this message, this gospel, the scriptures. For even our Lord said, and it's recorded in Hebrews chapter 10, in the volume of the book, it is written of, and the Lord's speaking of himself, not me here. The Lord said, it is written of me.
Yeah.
Christ is the subject of all scripture.
Amen.
He's the subject of all scripture. Now again, there is this effect that the preaching, the declaration of the word of truth has upon God's people. Now, it's by the will of God, but yet there is this preaching. That's how it comes to pass. Again, I quote Paul again when he says, but it's by the foolishness of preaching that God saves them that believe. So think about it. Here's Acts. I want to talk about the actions a moment. Acts chapter 16. Now, this was amazing. Now, I seen this years ago. I mean, years ago, but it was hard for me to articulate. Now, after I say what I got to say, you may say, well, it's still hard for you to articulate. And that's all right. You may be right. Maybe I just think I've learned how to articulate it. So, be that as it may, the problem was, back then, you know, when you're raised up in religion, and especially that which professes to be Christian religion, when God converts you, you got a lot to unlearn, as you've got a lot to learn.
True.
You know what I mean? I mean, you've been indoctrinated with all this error, and it infiltrates everything about how you think,
right,
act, and talk.
Man.
You just, I mean, you're imprisoned by this. Until God, in his own time, allows you to kind of get rid of some of these notions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these notions. But anyway, this one verse, Acts 16. And a certain woman named Lydia. Mm-hmm. Well, right there is election.
Yep.
Now, I know it's not speaking about election, but Jay, that's election. It's this certain woman.
Yeah.
Because there were several that resorted thither, right? But Paul here, or I'm sorry, Luke here, is talking about or writing about what Paul did here. And let's then look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made.
Amen.
And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia. Now look at this. A seller of purple and of the city of Thyatira. And then look at what it says. Which worshipped God.
Amen.
These things, all of these things, was prior to Paul talking.
That's right.
All of them.
Yep.
Now, automatically we think, well, somebody worships God. Well, they're okay. They're fixed up. Not necessarily so. They may need to hear of Christ.
That's right.
And come to Him.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? Another thing I want to point out is it would be easy. I can see me now. Bunch of Arminians.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them down there by that river praying.
Yep.
Idiots. Don't they know they ought to be in an assembly of the saints if we're going to do that?
Yep.
Huh? Now, not all of these people believe what Paul said. There's no indication of that, right?
No.
And there's no indication that this was actually some God-sanctioned gathering of believers, right?
No.
If it was, she'd already been attending to what Paul was preaching. You understand? And some people's tried to say that. Well, she was already a believer. They just met up together. You're already a believer in Christ. There is no indication of that here. Because it says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard. And it says, heard us, but that's all right. It didn't destroy anything. It didn't hurt anything. This woman, but here's the point, heard. You see it? She heard. Whose heart the Lord opened.
Amen.
But it's not just, now wait a minute. God had already given her a spiritual and alive heart. That's why she worshiped God.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't open up the old heart.
No.
He says, I'm going to get rid of that one.
Yeah.
The promise was, I'm going to take the stony heart out.
Yeah.
Now, granted, He's not going to do that until the final day when we either die or when we're raised in His likeness. That's when it will actually be taken away.
Yeah.
But He said, I'm going to put a new heart within you and a new spirit within you. And this is what God had already given her, this heart to worship, to see some things about God, right?
Yes.
But she needed to hear the most important thing about God. That He came to this world and shed His blood for His people in human flesh. That's what she needed to hear about the Christ. But notice it says, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, every believer here, Even after belief, did you know after your initial believing, even after your initial conversion, God is still, day after day, time after time, still doing what? Opening your heart.
Amen. Right.
Because the truth is, if you ever sit there and say, well, man, you hear the preacher speak from the Word of God, and you think, there it is, right there it is.
Uh-huh.
I get that. And then you begin to realize, why didn't I get that before? I've been reading that for years.
Exactly.
Huh? Why didn't that dawn on me? Because your heart wasn't open to it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that heart, it's not a matter of depravity.
No.
It's a matter of His own will beget He us with the word of truth.
Amen.
God teaches us as He is pleased to teach us.
That's it.
We know what we know right now at this moment because God's pleased to have brought us to that knowledge. That point of that knowledge right now. I'm not looking for more than what I've got right now. What I need for later will come later when it's needed. Now that's not to say that there is not a place where we may, because of our own lack or whatever, lack certain understanding or knowledge because, you know, we become loose or whatever. But let me tell you this. Everything you understand, and that's what I said, you the mind, the heart, the conscience, the emotion, the understanding, the actions. Everything right now that you understand today, spiritually, of the Scripture, God Almighty has been pleased to reveal to you. It's not a matter of your effort that you know these things.
Right.
It's a gift of God.
Amen.
It's a gift of God. Of His own will brought He us forth. And that's converted us. And remember, we're being converted as well.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's an ongoing process. Conversion is quickening. Regeneration's a one-time past act. Remember, passive voice.
Yes, sir.
This here, that is James 1:18, teaches a one-time past act, okay? But it's not in the passive voice. It's in the active voice. Therefore, we find the believer, or this person, I should say, this person upon whom God is acting with the word of truth, responding to and with the word of truth.
Yes, sir.
Now, we may think of the woman giving birth to the child. The child's completely passive. I don't know how they consider that. Anybody here who's ever done nursing, is the baby considered passive? It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if the analogy breaks down at that point. It doesn't matter. What matters is the truth of Scripture. In our being brought forth, this person is active with the truth. We're not just back there, okay, and like a sponge, and the truth's going in there, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning, oh, I believe that. I'm a free grace believer today. What do you know? No, there is this battle.
Yeah.
And Paul kind of describes it. Now look, what is it? Look at 2 Corinthians 10, and I like his language here. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul kind of defines this for us. He said, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." And some people abused or spoke against Paul's authority because of this. And he mentions that too. "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Well, you know Paul. He writes big letters, strong, bold letters, but when he's around, he's a pushover. Huh? That's kind of along the lines of what they were saying. He's weak when he's among us. And of course, these people were powerful, don't you know? They had authority. But look at what he says. "For though we walk in the flesh," and each and every one of us does.
Yes, sir.
We walk in this flesh, and we also have the flesh. The old Adamic self. The Adamic me. Okay? I still have that to contend with. And somebody says, "Well, I wish we didn't." Well, you're wishing against God's purpose.
Yeah.
Well, he purposed we keep it right now.
Pretty much.
Somebody says, "Why?" I got a lot of reasons why I believe that's so, but it doesn't matter. He purposed it. It's good enough. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Fight against it.
Yeah.
That's what, fight against it.
Yeah.
Not against God's purpose, but against the flesh is what I'm saying. Look, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And then we see this interjection as we have it here in the King James Version. And that's all right, it's fine. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God."
Yes, sir.
Now it's not, see, we're not talking about the book itself has some kind of power. This is not the fourth person of the Trinity.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
I'm saying if we had an original manuscript, one that Paul signed with his own hand. He said there was one like that. "I signed this with my own hand."
Yeah.
Right? If I had that one.
Yeah.
No, if I had it and I could prove that was it.
Yeah.
I would know I had within my hand the verbal, plenary, inspired word of God.
Yeah.
Okay? I would, if I could prove that, Joe, I'd have it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all it is.
That's it.
And I don't mean that to belittle at all, because it is the inspired word of God.
Yes,
sufficient for all faith and practice.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But it's not God.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
And even this, a translation, which I believe is protected by God.
Oh, yeah.
That we have God's word herein written.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't God.
It sure is not.
I know Earl's gotten in trouble before. You know, you can take this right here and throw it in the fire.
Sure.
And this one's about ready for it. You just take it and throw it away. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not God. It's not a deity. You say, "Well, I'm trying." You know, again, what I'm trying to point out, for the weapons of our warfare are not God, are not carnal, but mighty. How? Through God.
Amen.
But mighty through God. And then look at what it says. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now, he's giving us verbal pictures. We're talking about watching someone storm a castle wall and pull that wall down, right?
Yeah.
That's what it means here, pulling down strongholds. But he's talking about this battle that happens in the mind, heart, conscience, emotions, understanding, and actions. That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about Christians physically taking over some city. This is all inward of the heart and the mind, the soul, the spirit. Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and we've all got them.
Oh, yeah.
As I've already mentioned, some of us have more than others because it's been indoctrinated into us in years past, and a lot of it is nothing but rank, error, and some of it is just downright heresy. But these weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal but mighty through God, are able to pull down strongholds. They're able to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Here's the difference. You can be a Jack Van Impe and have knowledge of the scriptures, or you can be a believer and have the knowledge of God. And this is liable to go on the internet, and I'm liable to be in trouble now, Andy, because I said that right out loud. Somebody say, you saying Jack Van Impe's lost? I don't know, and let's just leave it right there. But I doubt it. No, what I'm saying is it's not a knowledge of scriptures.
No, it's not.
You see, it's what? The knowledge of God. There's a lot of people know the Bible that don't know God. There are far many more that, by what I've met, I haven't counted, but just experience teaches me that there are far many more people that know about the Bible, they don't know anything about God.
Exactly.
When they start talking about Him, you find that out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, now, and this is one of the worst, you know, well, the old man upstairs. No, there is a man upstairs.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Sir.
He's a man.
Yes.
He's upstairs. He's up there, seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
No, God is to be reverenced.
Yes, sir.
God is to be feared.
Yes, sir.
And you know what that word is, don't you? It's phobia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Well, our Lord said it. I mentioned it, but let's mention it again. Fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That ain't just reverence there. That's fear. I don't want to fall under His hand of condemnation.
Amen.
I do not want to. And you know what? I have peace, and so do you if you're in Christ, and the knowledge that we're not.
Exactly.
We're not. As a matter of fact, it tells us, and I say it this way, though the context of the scripture doesn't use the word. Excuse me. I say that God Almighty has eternally not condemned His people.
That's right.
Now listen to me. There are some people who teach that God chose people, a certain group. He chose His people. He elected His own, but He's still wrathful toward them until. There's some that teach that.
Yeah, you're right.
According to Romans chapter 8, that ain't so.
Right.
It might not be good English, but it ain't so.
Exactly.
Because Romans 8 tells us, verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, and let's just stop. When did that take place? I should say rather where.
Yeah.
Because when is not a right reference. Where did this take place? It took place in eternity.
Yeah.
Eternity is not a when. It's a where.
Yeah.
Scripture says God inhabiteth eternity.
Yes, sir.
It's a state of being. It is a place. It's not a time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, it's almost impossible to say it though, it was then. That's when He predestinated us. But look, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He will call. Is that what it says? Them He will then justify. And them he will then glorify. Is that what it says?
No,
it's not the way Paul presents it, is it? Now, we know that there is a sense in which that is true. These things do then carry out, or I should say the calling, justifying, glorifying, do take place for these individuals experientially in time. But far as God's concerned, they're done with.
That's right.
Amen.
God purposed it and they're done with. Well, that's why he says, whom he did predestinate, that's past, right? Past tense.
Yeah.
Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, past tense. Then he also justified, past tense. And whom he justified, past tense. Then he also, what? Glorified, past tense. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us.
Yeah.
Now when, or where,
yeah.
or both, was he for us? Back then, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Right back then. That's when he was. If he wasn't for me, he wouldn't have predestinated me.
That's right. Exactly.
Because there are some people he's against.
That's right.
He defined it in one. He gave us an example. Jacob, I was for him. Esau, I was against him.
That's right.
Because he said, Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated.
Amen.
See? God didn't just pass him by. That's Esau. He hated him. And God didn't just kind of like Jacob. He loved him.
Yes, sir.
Before they were ever born. Look, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, I have no reason to believe that anything, God's purpose for me as one of his, will ever fail. No matter what happens to me, God's purpose is being carried out.
Yes,
as he goes on to explain. And nothing can separate us. But look, who shall lay anything to the charge of the glorified? Is that what it says?
No.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Amen.
You see, the elect were elected way back yonder.
Nobody
could lay a charge to them even back yonder.
Exactly.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Amen.
Who is he that condemneth? Is there one? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, some people said, but Ephesians say that we... even of God's people, that we were the children of wrath, even as others? Yeah. We were the children of wrath. Wrath was our state.
Yeah.
Most people think that means we were under God's wrath. That's not what it says.
No.
It doesn't say we were under God's wrath.
No.
You under God's wrath, brother, you're a goner. Or I should say, you ain't a brother.
Yeah.
You under wrath, you're going to be a goner. Somebody says, well, what about that passage that he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. That's right, and that is vertical.
Yeah.
That is not as God views the person. God knows whether that person's his or not.
Yeah.
Here the Lord Jesus Christ simply talking about all unbelievers in general, but not just any. Okay? I should rephrase that. Some people think, well, he's just talking about all believers in general. But it says, he that believeth not. And I don't need to go into all the Greek there, but it means he that is not believing and continues on not believing. That's the person under the wrath of God. There are some people right now who may not believe, but they will. They will. When God Almighty gives them life, and when God Almighty sends his gospel to them, and he, by his own will, begets them with the word of truth. They don't go from being under God's wrath to under God's grace. They've been under God's grace since the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And that's a glorious thing.
Yes,
sir. That gives me hope. See, that lets me know if I'm a part of that group, I'm in good shape. Even as pitiful as I am. Huh? And I'm in good shape in spite of myself.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
I'm in good shape in spite of myself. I'm in good shape no matter what shape I'm in. I like that. Now, does that mean there's certain shapes I'd not like to be? Yeah, there's certain ways, David, I'd rather not be. You put forth your hand and your feet to not be that way, and every once in a while God will let you know you still are.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, thank God he doesn't necessarily let you lay there and wallow in it for years and years, but he still lets you know you're still just the dust of the earth.
Yep.
You're still a fallen creature, and apart from me, you got nothing. You got nothing. And this is why Paul could say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not a believer, you see, we're not preaching the gospel trying to make people into believers. We're preaching the gospel unto people that God's made into a believer.
Amen.
And when those two things come together, that believer stands up and says, or not physically, but that believer stands out and says, he sets his heart seal to this witness, God is true.
Amen.
God's true. Hmm. Isn't that something? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I've got just a couple minutes. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is why. Because we know there are these people that God will bring forth, and he'll bring them forth by the word of truth. Therefore, our concern is what? The word of truth. That's it. That's why we don't have to have a bus that's parked down here at Winter Place.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They got to have that. Because their message is so powerless, they couldn't keep those people if they didn't have that bus.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
They got those kids down there skiing with them. They're skiing for Jesus, I guess. I don't know what they're doing. Skiing with Jesus or skiing for Jesus or skiing about Jesus. Maybe they're skiing and spelling Jesus in the snow. I don't know. But people got to have that. That's why they got to have the basketball teams. That's why they got to have the Sunday schools with all the programs and the entertainment. Because what they're preaching has no true meaning to the people. Even their gospel don't work.
Huh?
That Arminian, people say, well, it works. No, it don't. The Arminian gospel don't work. That's why they got to have all these other things. That's the thing. You get... And this happened years ago. I mean, the Baptists split up because of a lot of this. Look at the way things are going for the Methodists. They're getting all kinds of folk coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't keep them.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, well, y'all lost some folks too. Yeah, but not the good ones.
Yeah.
It's just the bad ones.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. God's pleased at his own time, and it's not up to us.
Yeah.
God's pleased at his own time when that net's dipped down, and it may bring up some bad fishes with the good fishes, right? If you know what, God in his time, he'll pick the bad ones out and throw them away.
Yes, sir. Guaranteed.
Somebody says, well, what if he leaves one there to the end? Well, that's his business. But usually bad fish will manifest themselves after a while. And they smell bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's being silly now. No, I'm serious. Let me tell you something. When you preach the word of truth, and if it's the word of truth that lays hold of a person's mind, heart, conscience, emotions, understandings, and actions, you don't have to beg with them and plead with them and give in to their fleshly desires to keep them around.
Yeah, right. Amen.
If they need that, they might. If anybody here, I say this to you honestly, with all the sincerity I can, if you need that, go out yonder. They'll give it to you. You're not going to get it here. By the grace of God, we will never do that here.
Exactly.
And if I ever start to, y'all get me, put my arm behind my back, stick my nose in the corner, tell me to stand there till I learn better.
Mm-hmm.
It says about elders, those that sin,
yeah.
Rebuke before all,
yeah.
That others may fear. You don't put up with that.
Yeah.
See, that ain't up to me to make sure it goes that way. That's up to us.
Exactly.
And it's up to God.
Yeah.
It's only by his grace. You know, and I know this has happened. I've had people tell me that others have, and it may not be these exact words, but boy, what a pitiful little place and a pitiful little group.
Amen.
That's all right. We're God's pitiful little group.
That's it.
And that's his business.
Yes, sir.
But I'll tell you this. And I'm saying this giving thanks to God Almighty. Okay? I thank God that there is not another group I know of that loves the truth of the Word of God with any more devotion than this group right here. I'm not saying you're better than anybody else, but there is no other group that has more than that. You know, it's amazing when you go out here and you go out to go your job, and you hear people talking about going to church. And,
oh, yeah.
And you can tell they're not a family. You can tell that. They're not a family. They have an organization they attend. You know what I mean? They have this club they go to. It's called church.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know? And the fact is, that ain't what this is. This ain't a club. Wouldn't even make a good club. We'd have to build another building if we have a good club, wouldn't we? I mean, these people complained about our building. Anyway, the truth is sufficient. Huh?
Yes,
that's why you're still here, sitting in these little old seats in this little old building. Right? Because that truth. Nothing else. Yes, it's great to have new carpet, and it looks great, and I thank God for it. But if we had the old carpet, we'd still be here.
Exactly,
wouldn't we?
Right.
If it got so bad we had to tear it up and just paint the floor, we'd still be here. Because of the what? The truth.
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray that you knit our hearts and minds together around Christ. And Lord, may we be mindful of those that were not able to be here today. And Lord, you know each and every situation and circumstance. Lord, we pray thy grace and mercy felt for them, experienced for them, to let them know that our hearts and minds are with them as well as we know their hearts and minds are with us. Lord, may we find that fellowship in Christ, and I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.